All right. Well, God bless you tonight. Looking forward to sharing the wonderful Word of God with you. A couple weeks ago, I shared with you on how God answered a prayer of mine to meet someone while visiting my sons and their families for the Christmas holidays. We flew up to the Bay Area where they live, and this prayer was answered right away on the flight up there. A man was sitting across the aisle. We struck up a conversation. We got talking about basketball, and we soon discovered that we played against each other in a game where he played for the Army team and I played for the Marine Corps team in an Armed Forces tournament in 1971. Then we went on to play on the All-Star Armed Forces team later that year. But what really made the connection sweet was he said he attended a men's Bible fellowship in Point Loma near the Point Loma Nazarene University, which happens to be a few blocks from where we live. And this fellowship is just a half a block from the university there. So I've had that opportunity to visit the fellowship, and they meet on Wednesday mornings. So I was there this morning, and it was a neat fellowship. They were using a book as their Bible lesson source called The Rest of the Bible. And basically it was teaching what we know as our identification in Christ, along with the reality that it's Christ in you. It mentions about the mystery and that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, and that we need to identify with that if we're going to live the fullness of what God's made available through Jesus Christ. So I want to teach on this tonight, and I'm titling it, Who Am I? Our Identification. So again, for most of you, I think you appreciate this lesson on who you are in Christ. But I don't think you can be reminded enough, and I know I can't be reminded enough, on the greatness of how we are identified with Christ and all that he did in light of his death, his resurrection, being at the right hand of God. We're seated at the right hand of God. So we have Christ in us. So this understanding really is crucial if we're going to walk victorious in Christ. And so I want you to think about your identification and what you thought about yourself before you learned an accurate knowledge of God's Word. Where were you? What did you think about yourself? For me, when I got born again, I was 20 years old. And on the outside, I was a nice guy, successful in athletics, but inside, very empty, with many fears about life. You know, I don't have some heavy story to tell about being on drugs and almost dying and going through catastrophes. Like I say, I was a pretty good guy. Didn't have any drama in my life so much. But inside, I think I was hurting just as bad as anybody else. But praise the Lord, I found the truth, got saved, born again, spoke in tongues, and I had a whole new identity. I became a son of God. I was bought with the most precious price ever offered. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Verse 20, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Then in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says that God made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That we could have God's righteousness in us is unbelievable. And that we could belong fully and totally to God, that he would buy us and want us as his children, is just really unthinkable when you think about this crazy world we live in. But that's how big God is. That's how wonderful his love is. He bought us, and we are his and nobody else's. And he didn't buy the flesh Bob, but he put his spirit in us. And that spirit is as Christ in you. We are a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that. That we are new, he is a new creation in Christ. It says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are his workmanship. One of the translations of that verse says we're his masterpiece. So we are pretty special. We heard that in the manifestations too, that God really likes us. He really thinks highly of us. And we should think highly of ourselves. So what God did and communicates in his word is that we fully identify with Christ and all that he did to redeem us. And let's take a look at that in Romans chapter 6. So you can go on to Romans chapter 6 in your Bibles, because we're going to see where Christ died for us. We were buried with him. We died with him. We were raised with him. We're seated with him. All these great realities we associate fully with him. And because we identify all these areas, that should just set in our hearts and minds how great God did, the work he did to make us his children. So Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, this is so fantastic. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Man, if you fell asleep, you died, and all of a sudden you got raised up from the dead, man, you would be the happiest guy on the planet here. That's how we should feel, that we are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Who we are now in Christ, we can be instruments for God. Isn't that wonderful? You know, how we identify ourselves really makes all the difference in the world in how we will walk in victory in Christ. Think about that. How do people identify themselves today? Well, many, many ways. What about the school you attended? When I was in high school, I identified myself as a Lancer. I went to Robert E. Lee. We were the Lancers. Then I went to college. I became a Pirate, East Carolina Pirate. So we were the Pirates. I identified with that because that was my school. You know, when we have professional teams in our city, we become fans and we identify with that team. We get the jerseys and the colors and stuff like that. You know, when the Chargers were in San Diego, we were all excited that we were Chargers. Of course, they left for L.A., so now we have to be Padres, I guess, the baseball team. You know, some people identify with their parents. If they have very successful parents, they can kind of brag on that, or maybe their parents are nobility or something where they can associate with that. And of course, I think people identify with their jobs. You know, if you're a scientist or an engineer or a teacher, something like that, you identify with that. What about the car you drive? Boy, I remember in the young days, you were identified by the kind of car you drove. You know, if you had a sports car, you were pretty cool. You had a regular old four-door sedan, you were just okay. And, of course, if you had a Ford F-150, you were a country boy. We identify with different things. And, of course, people identify with the church, different denominations that they attend. And, of course, what country are you from? We identify with that. We're Americans. We identify with that. What about your heritage? You know, if you have an Italian name with an I on the end of it in the spelling, you're probably Italian and you're proud of that. So you identify with that. You know, in our times, people identify with their sexual orientation. With the elections that have gone on, we identify by political party. So all these things, different things people identify themselves with. Well, let me tell you something. That is the old man. That's not the born-again believer. We need to identify with the greatest reality living within us. As born-again ones, we have Christ in us. We identify with that fully and completely. I'm a son of God. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the righteousness of God. I'm a child of God. I am the glory of the Lord. I am as one raised from the dead. I'm an instrument of righteousness. This is what we need to associate with and identify with. You know, there's a battle raging in our bodies, the flesh versus the spirit. Romans chapter 8 talks about this. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They identify with the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We want to identify with our spiritual life, who we are in Christ. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Whatever you do in the flesh, it's just not going to go very far for God's sake. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Why? Because we've got Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have that gift of Holy Spirit in us. We are special to the Heavenly Father. Again, we heard that in the manifestations, how special we are. So this verse 9 goes on, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Boy, that makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it, to have that Spirit of Christ within. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. You know, there'll be a time when Christ comes back to gather us together. We'll get a whole new body, whole new spiritual body. That'll be wonderful. So verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. You know, the flesh cannot please God. So we're filled with Christ within. We have that new spirit. We are a new man in Christ. We put on the new man. That's who we are. That's who we are. I got to read Colossians with you. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian. You know, this Scythian person, back in the day, to be a Scythian was the worst you could ever be called. If somebody called you a Scythian, that was the worst. But see, as far as God's concerned, it doesn't make any difference who you are. Greek or Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. See, no matter what your identity was in the past, doesn't make any difference. If you get born again of God's Spirit, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You identify fully and completely with the Christ within. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness. These are the actions that we do. Barney did a phenomenal teaching on kindness, the practical application. Man, oh man, you got to listen to that one. But these are the things that we do as the elect of God. We put these on: humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's what we do. We forgive each other. Yeah, we get upset with each other. We make mistakes. Our flesh gets in front of us and trips us up. So what do? We don't get into name calling. We don't get into pointing fingers. But we forgive one another. We focus on who we identify with in Christ. And that's what we think of each other. See, I think the best of you because you've got Christ in you. You think the best of me because I've got Christ in me. And we don't settle for anything less. Well, verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity. Charity is the love of God, agape love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Man, oh man. So let's remember who we are and walk that way, okay? We are God's masterpiece. We are sons of God. We have the righteousness of God within. We've got that Christ in us, the hope of glory. Okay? Well, God bless you.